This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Recently, a Muslim YouTuber by the name of Sajid Lipham produced a video commenting on a viral clip of a recent TV program that I appeared on concerning Salman Rushdie and free speech in the West after his attack. And one of the guests on the show was an individual called Douglas Murray. I'd like to thank Brother Sajid for raising the topic on his channel about the events that happened at the program, as well as the topic in general. But with respect, there is perhaps a slight disagreement that I might have with something that he suggested, and maybe we can go through some of the details. Now, Brother Sajid suggested that if you're going to go on such platforms, the wise thing to do is to condemn the actions committed by the assailant against Salman Rushdie.
I feel like the very first thing that should be done is to condemn the attack. Such an attack is against Islam, and that's what you're being brought on this platform to represent.
And following up with condemning Salman Rushdie's literature in tandem.
And I want to be clear in also saying we condemn Salman Rushdie's book.
Unfortunately, it isn't so simple as that. On that program, no one actually clearly condemned the attack on Salman Rushdie. And the host himself didn't even give a clear condemnation of the attack on Salman Rushdie. And not even Douglas Murray gave a clear and specific condemnation against the attack on Salman Rushdie. So why should I be expected to condemn the attack on Salman Rushdie when no one else was asked that question? They were too busy talking about whether Iran should be blamed for the attack, whether Iran's description that Salman Rushdie bore the blame was horrific and disgusting or not. But no one actually clearly said that they find the attack on Salman Rushdie reprehensible. The only person that was asked that question specifically was myself, but it wasn't from the host. It was from one of the guests, Douglas Murray, a infamous neoconservative here in the UK. Now, to answer that question from him would imply two things. One is that, firstly, he has some right to demand that Muslims answer his question when he's not even the host, and that now you must be subservient to answering him. But second, it implies that Muslims must always be suspected of what their opinion is after every single attack, and that the only way to resolve the opinion of any Muslim is that they must be asked. You might think, oh, how is that a problem? Well, the problem lies in the fact that, imagine there was a bunch of children were killed in a school, and then people went to Muslims and said, do you Muslims think that's bad? You would see the insult behind that, but you would also see the malicious suspicion present behind that question. Likewise, after every Israeli atrocity, would they invite Jews onto the platform and ask them, do you justify these atrocities? Do you condemn these atrocities committed by the state of Israel, even if this Jewish individual has nothing to do with the state of Israel? Would anyone go to Jews and say, do you condemn the killing of Wilhelm Gustloff, a Nazi propagandist in 1938, who distributed Nazi propaganda, demonizing and denigrating Jews? Not necessarily at that point in time calling for violence against them, but just demonizing and denigrating them. He was killed by an angry Jewish individual who didn't like how Jews were being portrayed. Will we go around to every Jewish individual and say, do you condemn the killing of Wilhelm Gustloff? It would be insulting. Some even might would call you anti-Semitic for asking that question. But maybe we'll put it more starkly. Imagine every time a Jewish individual came onto a TV program or onto a public platform, they were asked, do you condemn the alleged killing of Jesus for allegedly breaching blasphemy laws according to your Torah? Do you think it should be expected for every Jewish individual to say, let me just say that I condemn the alleged killing of Jesus so that you don't suspect me anymore? So then why would it be expected for Muslims to say that too? And you also have to ask yourself about the mentality of people who would ask that question, demanding people condemn something when they should presume they already do. If someone asks Muslims, do you condemn an attack? It's because they suspect that Muslim, and most Muslims, if not all Muslims, secretly sympathize and justify the attack. If so, if you were to answer that question and condemn the attack. They'll merely just suspect that you're lying and they won't trust your answers. However, if anyone actually doesn't suspect you to secretly sympathize or justify the attack, then they won't ask you the question in the first place. So then really, the question is actually pointless and it's really politically loaded. Of course, as we all know, that Muslims are prohibited from breaching the covenant of a non-Muslim country that they're in, and they're not allowed to transgress against the laws, nor additionally are they to enact vigilante violence outside of the state. What we also must understand, if a Muslim was to go on that platform and simply acquiesce to any demand they make and say that they condemn the killing of Salman Rushdie, that would not placate the forum. Condemning an attack is always met with a follow-up question aimed at condemning Islam itself. Do you condemn Islamic blasphemy laws? Do you condemn what the Sharia says against insulting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you condemn that anyone should be punished for insult? This brings a bigger topic of discussion, and the Muslim would be forced to either not have enough time to explain it, and therefore anything they do say will be taken down and used as sound bites against them in newspapers. Or they repudiate the Sharia and they negate the very basis of which, why they're Muslim in the first place. Or if they are on the defensive and don't want to offend the people they are speaking to, acquiesce to the liberal worldview and liberal moral system. Something, of course, as a Muslim, we can't do. So in the end, agreeing to the demand to denounce attacks doesn't get you out of the trap, but rather the demand to denounce attacks is the trap itself.
And I want to be clear in also saying we condemn Salman Rushdie's book. We condemn this idea that people who are as disrespectful as humanly possible deserve some sort of praise and
if you try to criticize Salman Rushdie's book in such a small segment without having enough time to elaborate, then this will always be met with outrage. How dare you, when this victim has been attacked and has come to within an inch of his life, that you dare take this moment to condemn him? They'll say that then, do you sympathize with the motives, if not the actions, of the killer, aiming to make you look bad and get a few sound bites out of it to be reported on the newspapers? Brother Sajid implied that the Iranian regime bears some responsibility for the attack against Salman Rushdie because they released a fatwa over 30 years ago. While that might be the case, at this current juncture, we simply don't know. And the main reason, or the main topic that I was brought on to discuss in that program, it would seem, is simply, do I condemn the Iranian regime describing that the blame lies on Salman Rushdie's head? That was the main topic of discussion. That was asked by the host and repeated a few times by the host. So that was really what I was asked to discuss, not really asked to condemn the actual attack, except from Douglas Murray.
Without detracting from their sin at all. So the person who committed the crime, of course, they are responsible for their actions. And also anybody who encouraged and promoted such behavior.
As for Baba Sajid suggesting that the Iranian regime bears some blame because they encouraged such an attack, and he quoted the hadith, and I merely want to draw his attention and everyone's attention to the fact that the hadith doesn't say that anyone who encourages something bad will be punished because someone performed that action. But the hadith says that those who encourage evil are to blame if someone follows them in particular. Some people say that the perpetrator must have been motivated by the bounty offered on the head of Salman Rushdie. The problem is that if you're going to commit such a crime, you're probably going to get caught and you can't really spend that money in jail, can you? And of course, if the crime was committed by somebody who hated what Salman Rushdie said against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wouldn't really need an Iranian fatwa to motivate him if he was going to break Islamic discipline and go commit a crime. So does the Iranian regime bear responsibility? Well, of course, if the attacker was actually motivated by anything the Iranian regime had said in the past or by the reward, then of course. We currently don't know, pending court case, police investigation, and the motivations discussed by the assailant himself. What we do know, however, is that there wasn't any fatwa against Charlie Hebdo when they produced very disgusting depictions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam And yet they faced vigilante violence from some Muslims who were so angry that they couldn't maintain Islamic discipline. So why would we expect that the attacker of Salman Rushdie to be any different unless we see further evidence or we hear of further evidence? Sajid asks, why would a Muslim come onto that program knowing that it's there to bait and trap Muslims? Well, the simple fact of the matter is that any Muslim would know it's a trap. And of course, I did know it's a trap. And it's not my first rodeo on such programs. The reason I go on such programs is to disrupt the echo chamber that these programs represent. The channel I went on, or at least the guests, seemed to be ostensibly right-wing in opinion. And I simply went on to engage their ideas. More specifically, I went on to show that Douglas Murray was a hypocrite of free speech, that he claims he is for free speech, and yet at the same time, he has gone on record as what would seemingly look like lamenting the government not banning Muslim speakers he deems to be extremists going on platforms at universities. The organization that he has headed has worked for applying its restrictions on Muslim speakers going on to that they deem to be extremists going on university platforms, as well as banning the burqa in public buildings and banning the burqa in society for a social kind of ban, but also to close down mosques, which are deemed to be quote unquote centers of hate. Doesn't sound like a proponent of libertarian free speech, but yet the way he speaks, you'd be forgiven for thinking that he was until these facts are pointed out. And so I was happy to be given the opportunity to call him out in public on this. And also to call out as an additional bonus his hypocrisy in that they want to blame the assailant's actions on a third-party external entity. And yet, in the case of the Christchurch mosque massacre killer, Douglas Murray didn't want to ascribe blame to anyone except the assailant himself, despite the fact that the assailant was clearly motivated by his own confession into a view that Islam and Muslims are a threat to the West, something that many people describe Douglas Murray's writings as heavily implying. Many non-Muslims have commented, including many longtime fans of Douglas Murray, that they were shocked by how angry he got when he spoke to me. It is one of the many things that I felt was successful about that. The best da'wah there is, even if you're not allowed to speak, your manners, your decorum can speak more than the words that you can speak in a platform where you won't get much time and you will be interrupted from saying your piece. As to what I expected would be on the show, this is the first time I went on that program and I didn't know how much time I had. They told us we had 15 minutes, but then it seemed like it was actually 7 minutes in the end or less. And so you have to now pick and choose what topics you can say. So I was going to come out with such as there's no such thing as free speech. It never existed in the West. And therefore, something can't be under threat, which doesn't exist, nor has ever existed in the West. There are many laws which prohibit speech that is less than the incitement to violence. I was going to correct if my fellow panelists on this. Also, what is the purpose of free speech? I make a challenge to any liberal to justify me the purpose of free speech beyond the pursuit of truth. Insult is not included. The gratuitous insult using moral pejoratives are not justifiable according to the whole purpose of why free speech was advocated by the founding fathers in the first place. And even if we exist in some non-existent libertarian utopia where the government truly allows you to say anything short of incitement to violence, or maybe even beyond that, as long as you don't do it, you would be restricted from speech by society, but you could lose your job if you say the wrong thing, or people will react violently to you if you offend them. If you go insulting people's skin color in an area where it's majority people of that color, someone's going to be violent towards you, maybe even fatally so. For example, the irony is that if Salman Rushdie had written a racist book, I don't think he'd be revered as the free speech martyr he's being revered for at the moment. And you could perhaps make that claim when he disgustingly described Bilal, who's an Ethiopian companion to the Prophet Muhammad as scum and an enormous black monster, which is truly disgusting, Audubillah. And let's not forget that the West has had a history of killing people extrajudicially outside their borders. Al Jazeera news outlets get bombed by Israel. America has bombed the Iraqi TV station as well as a Serb TV station because it was just merely promoting what it called propaganda. Go ask Julian Assange or Edward Snowden if they have free speech and if the West permits it. I think you'll find they'll give you a rather interesting answer. Jazakallah khairan for making it this far. And inshallah, we'll do more of these in going ahead in the future. So please let me know in the comment section, do you agree? Do you disagree? I'll permit you freedom of speech to say whatever you wish, except rude language, that is. And inshallah, we can have a fruitful discussion going forward and inshallah, an honest discussion going forward. So please like this video and subscribe. And inshallah, I'll see you all in the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.